Welcome to the Millennial Soul Food Podcast, episode 19 with Anika of Honeyology Creative. I'm your host, Keyonce. Enjoy. What's up, everybody? Oh my god, episode 19. Yes, thank you so much for tuning into the Millennial Soul Food Podcast. I am your host, Keyonce, aka Yamawe, aka Keon. Pronouns they, them, he, they preferred. I'm a spiritual life and business coach, tarot reader, cosmonaut, hoodoo mystic, cultural sociologist based in New Orleans. Today's episode is actually going to be about ATR, specifically IFA. I have an Oshun devotee here on the show, and we're just going to talk about the evolution, because she was in a house, I think it's called an Ile. She was in one in 2000. So things have really changed. We're going to talk about some taboos that used to be around and the way that it's lit with ancestors now. We bringing it out. Bring them out. So here is a little bit about Honeyology Creative. This is Anika. This is her bio. So she is an accidental resident of New Orleans by way of Brooklyn. She writes and edits to make words beautiful in digital spaces by trade. Side notes are exploring creativity and intuition by using the spiritual tools of yoga and affirmation therapy. So I'm so excited for y'all to be able to hear my interview with her. Before, though, I wanted to announce my Patreon is out. It's Patreon. .com/millennialsoulfood, MillennialSoulFood. There's two L's, two N's. And basically, this is going to be where it's just the whole vibe. I have this thing called hashtag hoodoo metaphysics, and it's basically based in my experiences with shamanism, New Orleans and Mississippi, hoodoo, metaphysics, occult philosophy and studies. There's going to be some basic 101 stuff like candle magic 101, how to dress a candle, how to do a spiritual bath. But I'm also going to be doing, what's the spiritual tea, girl? So that's where I'm going to be talking about pop culture and different things that are just happening around the world from my more esoteric point of view. So definitely, if you have not gone to subscribe. The lowest tier is $3, $8 is the mid tier, and then $13 is the top tier. There's something for everybody. I'm also going to be having like a kitchen witch series. I'm also going to be doing some live streams. There's already two episodes of what's the spiritual tea up there, because there has been a lot happening in pop culture, girl. So yeah, I'm so excited about that. And I also wanted to read out my patrons, my people. I'm so thankful. I already have 16 patrons. Just put it out a few days ago. So I am just so thankful for everybody, period. So I'm going to go through and try to read some of these. Rise Up Good Witch. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I love them. Follow them. Rise Up Good Witch, doing amazing work. Oh, my God. Denise Omoruyi. Katie. Deborah. Nafziger. Rose Goddess, Jennifer Bearden, Christy Thompson, Janae Law, Nina Minona. What's up, girl? I love you. Brianna Lil Kuboyama, Fantasia, Anriel, Anisi, Roos, Daniela Vargas. Yes, what's up, girl? Sharina Frazier. What's up? Yes. So thank y'all. Thank y'all so much for supporting. So yeah, if there are also, if for any patrons, if you have any ideas about content that you would want to hear, please let me know, because I have literally a whole blueprint of content that I'm releasing at this point, but anything that anyone wants to know related to any of the past shows, anything you've seen me talk about, if you want me to talk about it more on the Patreon, just let me know. It's a whole vibe. We're going to be doing live streams. You already know we're going to be doing wind downs, girl. So yes, get over there, subscribe. Even $3 a month ain't that much money, period. If you're trying to support the work, if you are trying to support the work, you know, the work of a spiritualist out here, a child of Yemaya, if you're trying to support your girl and you're trying to support the work of spirit, please subscribe to my channel. No. Okay, I'm going to stop that. So what else do we want to do today? So I also wanted to get into some of my reviews. Thank y'all so much for leaving reviews. We got 41 up in here. They all 5 stars. Thank y'all so much. So I want to read the review first from Rose ELH. Like so many others here, I was introduced to Keon through a Little Juju podcast. I took interest in them and their spiritual path and decided to follow them on Instagram to see what wisdom and knowledge they offered in relation to what they shared on Juju's podcast. I loved what they shared and I wanted more. So I was excited when they announced the launch of Millennial Soul Food Podcast. This podcast has become something of a ritual, meaning as soon as an episode comes out, I turn on Alexa and continue on doing my work, cooking or cleaning. It is something that lifts me up, makes me laugh, and always leaves me in a great mood with a smile on my face when each episode is over. I've connected to Keon's personality through the podcast so much so that sometimes when I'm watching something or experiencing something spiritual, I can hear them reacting to it in my head. Queen Mother over here. I know it's weird, but maybe it's just the 7th planet Capricorn. I think it is in me that vibes so strongly on that level with his they personality. Capricorns rule. Anyway, I just want to say how grateful I am to have something of this substance and energy to look forward to for a very long time. I hope speaking it into existence. Oh yeah, we don't, period. Your girl is gonna be here. This is the calling. Thank you so much. That is such an amazing review. Ugh, I really appreciate all your kind words. Okay. Notori, A Breath of Fresh Air. Oh, and the last one was titled A Part of My Lifestyle. I love it. A Breath of Fresh Air from Notori B. Thank you, Keon. Everything about the show is much needed. I've learned a lot, and you've also confirmed even more in my spiritual journey. Your timing was impeccable. Thank you for continuing to follow the flow of spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank y'all, because I am here in service to y'all through spirit. Hallelujah. That's the calling. I'm not your guru. I ain't your savior. I'm just a channel. You know what I mean? A channel that will drag your life. Speaking of Lord Grawl. Y'all need to be listening to the universe out here, because the universe is speaking. I got a reading the other day and it just dragged my life. I don't know. I'm just, yeah, I, yeah, just, Yemaya was dragging my life. So I'm recovering. Y'all know when you get a reading and you're just like, whoa, I didn't really ask for all of this, but okay. Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm dealing with right now. I'm just, so that's why I kind of like lowered my slots a little bit, because I love doing this podcast. I love like talking. I love like expressing these ideas because it helps me like process all this information and these new experiences. But I will be kind of like opening slots every like 2 weeks for doing readings and stuff like that, just because I am dedicating more time to doing the podcast and more, doing more content on the Patreon, because it's kind of helping me process and kind of flesh out these ideas that are eventually going to turn into a book, of course. I'm speaking that. We know that's going to happen. But in the meantime, I'm focusing on a lot of different things right now. And yeah, so things are going well, despite the pandemic, despite some other stuff that's been going on with people around me. I'm praying for everybody, including everybody around me. Yeah, but I hope you enjoy this episode. This episode is great. I definitely am gonna have Anika on. We talk about how we met. We talk about New Orleans. We talk about just all of it. And she's straight up a girl from Brooklyn. Like, I don't know what it is, but I love people from New York City, especially Black people from New York City. I think it's something that has to do with the coast. I don't know what it is, but I have always gotten along with Black people from New York City. So, shout out to, if you listening from New York City, hit your girl up. I'm when COVID, before COVID, I was up there, but I'm gonna be popping in and out after COVID. So, if you up in New York City, if you in Los Angeles, if you're trying to make some connections, hit your girl up. Those are my kind of two cities that I go to the most besides Atlanta. So, especially after this COVID, if you up in LA, if you in Atlanta, if you're in New York, let your girl know if you're trying to collaborate. We can collaborate over the interwebs. Just hit me up. Let me know what's up. Let me know what's up. Let me know lo que pasa. So, enjoy the show. All right, I'm gonna quit talking. Love y'all. Okay, welcome to the show, Anika. So today we have Anika of Haniology Creative on IG, and she is a writer and an Oshun devotee based here in New Orleans, but she is from Brooklyn. Welcome to the show.
How you doing? Thank you for having me.
I'm feeling so
Beyonce.
blessed. Can we first talk about like the way we met, like the kind of BS situation, trying to manage the New Orleans messed up infrastructure, the damn shit getting hacked before coronavirus even started? That was on my birthday too, around then.
Oh my God, that was your birthday?
Yes, it
January
was. That's how we met. Cause it was the Joan of Arc parade, yeah. Cause okay, so
Okay.
the way we met basically was we were both in the DMV, and it was actually my third time that week being there, because they
Oh my.
basically made me wait the whole time, and then they didn't tell me about the paperwork that I needed, and the website is messed up here in New Orleans, and then we basically had to leave because the system got hacked. And so we were just standing out in the parking lot, I think, and we just start talking, and then we start following each other on Instagram, and then you hit me up and you're like, I want to be on the show. I didn't know that you were an Oshun devotee and stuff like that, but we just vibed. When people have that vibe and you just be like, okay, girl,
Listen,
sis.
listen. I mean, you telling me that you were a tarot reader though, when we were
Oh,
out
that
there,
is so true. Yeah.
and you, we were both like, what is this? We were totally the Northerners in the group.
Yeah.
Okay, we were like, what is this? Because how you gonna have, and it was that place was packed. How are you gonna have people online? And then be like, oops, the computer's broken. And I was like, these people want to go party.
Right.
It was the first day that Mardi Gras kicks off.
My birthday, And, like, yeah, and I was, like, because, you know, I moved here from Chicago, originally from Mississippi, but, I mean, I spent my 20s in Chicago, so I'm, like, if this ever happened in Chicago, they would burn the whole building down. Like, literally, they'd be, like, okay, who do we need to go beat up? So, that was, I was just kind of, like, wow, the infrastructure is so terrible. Like, oh, my God. But, but we met that way.
Damn, down here. I was like, and you know, not for nothing, my homegirl, my coworker at the time drove me to, you know, out there to the DMV because I was trying to replace my ID. And not for nothing, we left there and went to a party. We went to a block party. Mm-hmm. We were like, oh, well.
Me too. I went and got drunk.
You know? What did you do?
I went to the Joan of Arc parade. I met some friends to celebrate my birthday a little bit. I had had king cake earlier that day. I went to Dong Feng out in the east, the best king cake. Lord, I think I had like kind of conniptions whenever I like tasted that king cake for the first time. It is... Ooh, Jesus. And that's why I'm here for immigration, because the Vietnamese perfected the king cake. Because usually, typically, regular king cakes you have, they just some dried up bricks with some frosting on them and some glitter. But Dong Feng? Girl... I was like, y'all, I need to learn how to pronounce this shit, because y'all really doing it. Like, y'all are, they are the, and then they got the, it's, they do, they make it in a croissant kind of way. So it's not the regular heavy dough, you know.
Okay. So when I left, I went to a king cake festival.
Oh, my God.
So my old job, I used to work at this bakery in the Bywater Bakery. And the woman who owns it, when king cake season comes down, and she sells thousands of them, thousands, because she's so good. They're so good. Like, she has praline filling.
Oh, my God.
Creme brulee, blueberry cheesecake. Yeah, like.
Oh, my God.
Unicorn cheesecake, all the flavors. So good. So when the place had the faux computer hacking, I was like, yo, but y'all hacked every week?
It seems like it, because it was a repeated offense.
Yeah.
They
just don't, you know what, it's hard for people to work all day here. It's hard.
And also, it's like, I mean, we talked about this, me and Tyler, in the previous episode, which I just actually put out today. New Orleans allocates so much of its money in ways that we don't even know about, to where the infrastructure is just messed up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I adapted. You know, I love this city. So I'm just like, okay, here are the things. You know, DMVs are just not good places anywhere you go.
So, yeah, so you just gotta get through it, because I'm like you.
You just gotta deal with it, and at least for your pain and suffering, there's always a party here, even during the pandemic.
And also, you ain't really gotta get no tag anyway. I didn't have no tag for 3 months.
No one thinking about that. Yeah.
They really don't care. But yeah, I think that is interesting, because I mean, I also just talked about this with my coven comrade Tyler Firth. The city has a spirit of Dionysus, which is the god of murder, gaiety, and drunkenness. So it's like, you just got to get used. That's just how shit is, you know. So
listen, I think I was telling you how I live by a graveyard. And, like, the big spirits down here, for at least the Haitian spirits I've noticed, are the Gaydays,
mm-hmm,
and Baron Samedi, you know? And those are, like, ribald, you know, cutting up, you know, mischievous spirits.
Oh, tell me more about that. What was the second one you said?
Baron Samedi.
Baron Timidy.
Samedi, like Saturday, Samedi.
Oh, so what's the difference in those?
He wears the top hat.
Oh, okay.
And all black, and he's, you know, kind of have, like, sometimes he's depicted with a magnifying glass over one eye. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he rules over life and death, those being interchangeable. Mm-hmm. And I like to think sometimes when people say, okay, it's time to pay the piper, you're really paying the baron.
Ooh. Oh, well, that same seems like they have the similar archetypes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. And that's right. City,
you know, that's what this city is that. It's like it is the spirit of drunkenness and gaiety, but that also comes with a sharp awareness and a cleverness, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hella trickster energy.
Yeah. You better watch out.
For real.
Watch out.
I knew.
That was my first lesson here. I was like, oh, I better watch out.
I remember it was like, I didn't really realize that I would wind up living here. But actually, my father lived here when he was like in his like 30s. And my grandfather lived here for like decades before Katrina. And I have like a lot of family on the West Bank and stuff. But when whenever I was visiting, So I would visit, and New Orleans was kind of the place where it was, like, you know, spiritual, and I was interested in witch stuff or whatever, but I would always just come down here and, like, you know, just get really drunk and, you know, fucked up or whatever. And so I came down here with a group of, like, I came down here first to stay with my college friend, who I actually wound up living with, like, last year. I came and saw her, and I got so sick. Like, it was the worst flu I've ever had in my life. And I had planned to come down here for my birthday and be like, hey, what's up? We about to get fucked up. And I think that getting the flu that bad, this was in like 2015. I think that was the first sign, because 2016 happened and I had a lot of Saturn's return, just like mess happen. But that, me being that sick with the flu here, like, I couldn't even do, like, New Year's. I barely was able to do Mardi Gras that year for my birthday. But it kind of taught me, it was like, New Orleans was like, oh, so you think you're going to come down here now and you're just going to come and, like, fuck around when you have a certain calling? So then, whenever I was moving down here from Chicago, because it just, like, really worked out. Like, literally, my friend, like, a year before I even chose to move down here, she was like, oh, and when you move down here next year, you know, we have an extra room for you. And I was like, girl, I'm moving to Atlanta. Do you know I'm about to be I'm about to be a celebrity psychic, girl. Like, what you talking about? And then... You know Atlanta. You already know me. I'm like, girl, I'm about to find a sugar daddy. But, I wound up here, and it's been so amazing. But, yeah, I think that was a lesson I learned. So, whenever I first moved here, I was like, I was healthy, I'm not about to be engaging in too much. I never want to get that sick again. I was like, ancestor. And so, it worked out, but it was kind of like, my pact for moving here was like, you can't be on the BS, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's the reason people be like, you're producing all this stuff, and I'm like... Yeah, because I fucking know the energy I'm dealing with, you know? Like, as long as I'm doing it, it's going to be successful. But if I cut it off, my ass is not really going to have a good life, so.
listen, my New Orleans caught me by, I worked. When I first got here, I was coming down here on my romantic, had never been to New Orleans before. I'm an artist, writer, and I started this story in New York that I did a big reading, and it was really successful. And so I came down here to finish that story.
Mm-hmm.
And I started working like the week that I got here.
Mm-hmm.
I had one week of a really good time. I met Lorman Hill. You know
what? Okay, tell us more about that, please.
Oh, okay. So this actually goes to the Yoruba stuff. So years ago, when I was actually officially in a house, or an ile, as they're called. I had an Oshun godbrother and named Ajay, and I saw him on Instagram that he was posting that he was in New Orleans. And at that time, I had no idea I was going to be living here. I was just here. I was on Instagram. So I hit him up like, oh, what's up? Are you still in New Orleans? I'm here too. And he was like, oh, you are? And then I get a call from somebody else, like maybe a few hours later, and they're like, oh, Ade wanted me to call you and say that he's got tickets for you for Lauren tonight, because he was on tour with her.
Oh, wow. What?
And he was like, oh, you have these tickets to go see Lauren. It was at the Lakefront Arena. And I took a lift over there. I get out, and they're like, oh, okay, you also got the little VIP situation.
And oh, shit.
He called me. He's like, we're running late. Like, everyone knows Norman's running late.
That's what I was about to ask. How long did you have to wait?
It was 2.5 hours.
Lord, I would have left.
On a Wednesday. And everybody was like, don't you know we got to go to work, blah, blah, blah. And, but it was fun. It was a good time. She was really, really good. She really performed well. And then after the show was over, he called me. He was like, come meet me by this exit. And we met Lauren.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So that was like the first week that I got here. And then my other homeboy who I now live with, I mean, he's not here right now, but he was like, oh, I've overbooked myself for a gig. He's a musician. And he was supposed to be working an event with this like magazine and hair salon. And he's like, can you work it for me? And then I did that one event and I never stopped working. So I was supposed to go home the end of October 2018. And you see where I am.
Wow. And that's so funny, because I think we were talking on the phone about 2018 being an interesting year that people moved to New Orleans with the 300th anniversary of the city and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so it was really strange. And I'm going to tell you, it was like, I don't know any family members having lived in New Orleans. I'm sure I've had many family members pass through different periods. But I felt such a strong deja vu.
As what?
If I was here in another life. It was bizarre. I remember standing, you know where the 300 sign is, right there in Jackson Square?
Yeah.
So I remember standing over it and looking out over Jackson Square and saying, whew, feels good to be back.
Wow.
That
is so interesting.
Yeah, I was like, and that was a thought that just escaped me. And I'm like, logically, I don't know where that came from, because I had never been to New Orleans before.
It's because you were in the portal. You were in between the veil. And your other self in another dimension was like, welcome back, ho.
You know, so I do think there is like a weird thing where one of Marie Laveau's sisters, she had a sister, like a half-sister, and that sister died on my birthday.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I used to have this book. So you know the New Orleans Voodoo Tarot? You know that deck?
Yeah.
All right, so I've had that deck for many years, right? Like since the early 2000s. So it was way before the healing center was built and that there was a Botanica and all of that, right? So I always use that deck because it has the Orishas in it. It also has the Budun gods in it. I liked it creatively, even just the inspiration for writing. And I asked someone to pull for me before I got here, and they pulled from their deck, and I got not Oshun but Urzuli Frida Dahomey, which is like her counterpart in Haiti.
Yeah,
which is proper down here, right?
Mm-hmm. So, super popular.
Yeah, so it was so weird. So anyway, the deck, so I had to retire my first deck. It was tired of talking. It was like, please.
Just
let us rest.
Ah!
Let us rest. So I have this book, you know, always, and I'm like anybody who's into the esoteric stuff that, you know, you develop this fascination with Marie Laveau. So I have this book about her, and in it, it listed her relatives, and there was this Marie Dolores Laveau, right? That's the one that, that's the sister that died on my birthday. Okay, so then I get rid of the, you know, I, you know, with sacred intention, I lay the cards and the book to rest. Maybe a couple of weeks later, and this is in my home in Brooklyn, I'm coming, you know, from the store, from the supermarket, up to my, and there's a guy that sells books outside, right? And he sells them by the van, and out of a van. And mm-hmm. he didn't have the deck, but he had a used version of the companion book, right? And inside, inscripted was Dolores.
Shut up!
I was like, oh my God, yes.
What?
Yes, it was so weird. It was like, and there's a Marie Laveau card in there, in that deck.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's lift both of them up. Ah, shame.
Yes. Yeah. Ah, shame.
I do feel like it's important.
But then
like,
I got here and huh? I literally just kept working.
Oh.
And started just learning more about the spiritual fabric of the city. And I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of spiritual stuff I'm into. I'm still pretty on the ground. You know what I mean? I'm still mm-hmm. in the body. I still have to go to work. I still, you know, I have to write. You know, I'm not that muggle who can make the pen get up and just do it for me. Okay?
Hey, right.
I got to do it myself. However, the experiences that I've had in this city, I'm like, yo.
Have you ever gone to Mississippi before?
Huh?
Have you gone to Mississippi before?
I have been to Mississippi, but not in a long time. Not since I've been here.
Well, after all this mess is done, you should come with me, you know?
I would love to.
I know I've, like, been all up and down Mississippi. And, like, I think it's important for, like, people to see Mississippi because, like, New Orleans wouldn't be New Orleans without Mississippi, you know? So it's like, it's interesting to like understand the history there because a lot of Mississippians like live in New Orleans, like, you know, so it's like there's been a lot of back and forth migration. Like a lot of people from New Orleans moved to Mississippi after Katrina. And then my dad's side of the family, like he grew up on the border between Louisiana and Mississippi. So I mean, he grew up, like, coming here, and that's why we have family here, and, you know. I know, I want
to
look more into the history.
So let me ask you about hoodoo in Mississippi.
Yeah.
How is the water, is the river, just because the river here is an artery, right? And it, I feel like that's why so much stuff happens here, because that river is just this mystical place.
Well, the river in the Mississippi Delta, I grew up like about 20 minutes from Mississippi Delta or uh-huh. 20 to 30 minutes from the Mississippi Delta. But like I'm from what you would call more like hill country. And the okay. reason it's so many hills is because those are Native American mounds. So where I'm from, it's actually one of the spots that it was like the second edition kind of the like Trail of Tears. Because there's a part, wow. So like, where I'm from, it's like heavy Choctaw, like that, it was like heavy, and so that's why there's a lot of mounds, and like, I'm from where like, the Natchez Trace, I grew up like 5 minutes from that, and the Natchez Trace is this ancient indigenous trail that goes down to Louisiana and through Mississippi, and so I would say with the river, the reason the Delta was such a place of like, it was a really bad place for black people to be during enslavement because it was one of the most fertile. And that was because the Mississippi River overflooded and it flooded over into the land. And so you have the wet season and that's the reason the land was so like plentiful, if you could say, because of the Mississippi River. So there's that kind of relationship with the river in Mississippi, but specifically where I'm from, I would say it's more like about like a woods relationship, like the hoodoo. And that's okay. kind of where, like, because I'm from, like, an hour from Memphis. So, you know, that's where blues music originated. And that's a lot of hoodoo. I mean, blues musicians were hoodoo practitioners also, you know. So, it was, like, more, like, the kind of folky, like, country, you know.
Okay, so, right, and yeah. Do you have, like, hoodoo spirits and gods, goddesses and gods, like, as you would in, say, Yoruba religion or other African traditional religions, like Akan? You know, because no one ever talks about hoodoo as an actual religious practice, right? Hoodoo is considered, like, this hodgepodge practice of only magical spells and rituals that mm-hmm. without a historical context. And I'm like, that just cannot be true.
Yeah, you sound like Mojo working.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Actually, one of the things I'm gonna talk about this. This is a plug for my Patreon. But my Patreon is gonna be a lot of the material I'm gonna have on there is based on hoodoo metaphysics. And it's my specific kind of take on growing up. Because, like, one of the reasons, I would say, hoodoo in Mississippi is more just, like, in the culture. And then it's more, like, syncretism in terms of, like, people, like, Protestant people pray to Jesus, you know? So I use the Psalms a whole lot. But, and then in Catholicism, like, specifically with New Orleans hoodoo, there's a lot of prayer to different saints who are synonymous with different archetypes in, like, you know, Ifa and Vodun and all exactly. that kind of stuff.
That's how Yoruba is, you know, mm-hmm. with the Orishas. They were first syncretized with the saints. That's how it was brought from Cuba.
Yeah, but you sound kind of like Mojo working that book as far, because I do believe that hoodoo is a spiritual system, and I think it should be thought of as so. For me, I would say my, like, quote-unquote pantheon would be, like, my ancestors, and then I know I have, like, a spirit guide who's, like, a higher representation of myself, and then literally, I guess this is just being a, you know, being in the life, but random people at different times will tell me, like, oh, well, you have, like, Loki energy right now, and there's this energy in your life, and so they, you know, different kinds, like, move in and out and stuff. So
that's the same with the Orishas, you know, like, I say now, particularly with how popular Oshun has gotten, you know, by Beyonce mm-hmm. and just, you know, the various tribes on Instagram. I call her Oshun 2.0. You know, I'm like, look at Oshun becoming a celebrity.
Right.
But you know, back in the day when I first, you know, joined in LA and I was really young and really green and, you know, I was super obedient to everything by the book, super traditional. You know, you didn't even talk about her out loud or any of the Orishas. You know, it was such a secret. Like, my family definitely didn't know. They'd be like, blasphemy.
Let's go back to the history. So you got, you were in an LA in 2000?
Yeah, so it would be, I officially received my Alekes, which would be your sacred bead, in 2002. Mm-hmm. But I got reduced to the Ile in 2000. But I will tell you this, and this is before any kind of people intervention, right? I went to Senegal in the 90s, and like towards the later 90s. And I brought back this postcard of this dark woman who was wearing yellow and gold, and she had a crown of yellow fruits around her head. And I said, well, if I lived here, this is what I would look like. You know, this would be me. She had all this brass jewelry on, all this gold jewelry on. And so I still have that postcard. It's framed. The Ile that I joined was presided over by an Oshun priestess. And when I walked into her house for the first time, she had that same postcard that I had, only in a poster form.
What? Yeah. Wow.
I had gotten it from Senegal like a few years before I met her. What? So I just like, yeah. So to me, I feel like your spirit will tell you. And things can change all the time. You know, here you know about 7 or 8 Orishas. But in Nigeria, where it's from, where Yoruba is from, you know, there's 401. So here, you know, they just all kind of, you know, kind of streamlined into these 7, these known as the 7 African powers. With Oya there too. But, you know, that was something I felt drawn to. And then to walk into this woman's house and see this big poster, I was like, huh.
You know? Let me go out to the car for a second, child.
Huh?
You're like, let me go back out to the car for a second. I need to have a moment.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, and that's many years ago, and I still work with that as my lead energy, just simply because, you know, her symbols are the bee, honey, you know, she loves honey. Honeyology came from that, and it was a name that fit and stuck, and it works for, you know, writing, the social media craze that happened, you know. Well, you know, so for me, this as a guidepost in life, you know, it really worked out. But something where it was that was serious, that gave me a message, was about a month and a half ago. There were all these dead bees in my house out of nowhere. They were in the side room. Like, they came through the window and just like dropped dead. And there was one still alive. And I called my neighbor over, like, oh my God. And my neighbor set the one that was alive free. And I was like, what does this mean? Like, this is so weird. Where did all these bees come from? And later on that night, I thought I was experiencing a blood clot in my leg, because it was really painful and it was tender to the touch. And I took myself to the hospital because, you know, it's corona. You know, I don't know what a symptom is.
Right.
Okay. So I go to the hospital and they're doing a regular check-in. Well, it turns out I don't have a blood clot, but what I did have was some high-ass blood pressure. And Oshun rules the blood. And I don't know why those bees came through, but when I had that pain, I was like, the bees are telling me to go to the hospital.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I know that people are like, what is she talking about? But one of the things that you don't get when you see all this stuff in popular culture, because you see the yellow dress and you see the sexiness and all that's beautiful, but what really is happening alongside with that, or that should be happening, is that you're formulating a sacred relationship with this deity, this mythology, and that is teaching you about your intuition, mental intuition, physical intuition, and that it's helping you to strive for Iwa Pele, which is good character, along with your ancestors. And that is helping you with your Ori, and your Ori is your head, to make the best decisions for your life and for your community, your family, then your larger community. So it's actually, when you worship, or when you pray and you acknowledge these deities as well as your ancestors, what you're doing is you're engaging, you know, in sacred ritual internal practice. You know, and I just think that should be highlighted alongside learning who these Orishas are when they pop up on your feed, you know, because of a video or a movie, you know.
That makes total sense. So then, what are some aspects of your experience do you want to talk about? I know a lot of stuff is, like, secret, but, like, what was it, like, day-to-day after you were in the Ile, like, what kind of, like, ritual did you have to do, you know? I mean, if you can say, you know, as much as you can talk about.
So the ones that people know about are Bembes, right? So So bembes are big drumming rituals where the orishas will come down and talk and give you messages. So those who are priestesses or priests are basically put into trance by the drumming and the chant of their particular orisha and the dance, and they start speaking to people who are in the room and giving them messages about, you know, it could be something good, it could be something not so good, but normally you're going to get that message to work on it if there's an obstacle. Mm. And the food, you know, and it's beautiful, it's a big community event, and it's not, you know, that's not a secret practice. You can go to a bembe and not be in the religion. Mm. But sometimes you'll go and they'll be like, Yemaya said you have to come.
Oh.
They'll be like, Ogun says you have to come, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that doesn't mean you have to do it, but there is a way in which the energy will choose you. Some people will go and they'll hear the drums. They could hear. They could hear the drum swung to Shango and start, you know, leaping and flying in the air in a way that defies gravity. I know that happened to somebody before.
Hmm.
So, you know, those are things. And what that allows you to do is it allows you to be creative. It allows you to learn music, you know, from your homeland. Obviously not all Black people are from Nigeria, but there are certain kinds of music that are similar along the west coast of Africa, Ghana, Nigeria, Mali, Cote d'Ivoire. So you're learning through these bembes, you know, some possibilities about being an African, not just African American.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's what's up. And so, what did you, I know you said it was more taboo, like, back then. So, like, if you had people over, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, so one of the things, like, you know, like, I've always had an altar set up in my house, and people were like, what's going on here? Or if I let it slip at a family thing, they're like, you know, a lot. But I was always the artist and the one who was off the beaten path in my family. So they were just going to be like, well, she's weird, you know.
Oh, anyway, okay. That's good.
You know what I mean? They're like, you don't know. She could be doing anything. You know what I mean? As long as I wasn't harming myself or harming anybody, they were like, okay, you know, she's strange. Mm-hmm. But I would say there's a big community, even when it was taboo, there was a big community in New York, you know, in most places. So if you had one, you were like, yeah, people knew. So like now, okay, so you know when you cross your arms and you say Wakanda forever?
Mm-hmm.
So actually when you do that in Yoruba, if you say Alafia. So that's actually an actual ritual of greeting. But you just say Alafia, which means peace.
Wow, so, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, so it was taboo, but once you're in the community or in a community, you know, there are a lot of people who know what it is. And then you have the people who will go to church, but then they're going to come to the priest and get a Dilagoon reading, which is the reading with the cowrie shells.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there's a lot of in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, you know, it evolved.
Because
you know, kids are like, the new people, like, especially like you guys, like millennials are like, yeah, this is what we do.
Yeah, right.
You're like, I mean, we love Jesus, but we also, you know, like you said, love little Loki.
Yeah, I was telling my friend or somebody earlier, I was like, yeah, because I'm a, like, pure middle-of-the-road millennial. Like, I was born the year the internet was created, 1989, mm-hmm. the year the Berlin Wall came down, you know, Cold War ended, all that kind of shit.
Also, but I was talking 89. To,
huh?
You're
89. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so I was talking to someone who's from Generation Z. They're like, from, they were born 1997, and I was like, yeah, I feel like my generation was, like, the generation where we were, like, weird during preteens and during teenage years, but our parents were like, oh, they're gonna grow out of it, and now we're, like, 31, and we're still talking about aliens, and, you know, like, smoking weed, you know? And we're like, okay, so now y'all don't want to change anything. Okay, so we're just going to go and burn shit down. And then Generation Z is basically like, we really don't care. Like, my generation is kind of like, okay, we're going to stay inside, you know. We're going to do our, you know, we're going to be revolutionary, donate money. Generation Z is like, okay, where's the statue? Okay, where's my accent? Okay, we going there? Okay, let's meet there at 6. Generation Z is...
Hello.
Because they don't have anything to lose. Because I was telling that girl, I was like, I went to college when Obama was president. You know, it was really cute to, like, go abroad. But, you know, since Trump got elected, going abroad is like, no one wants to talk to you. Like, you know, because it's like, girl, what's going on with y'all's country? Can you get it together? Yeah. And then, you know, their graduations have been messed up. College students, Generation Z. So I think it's interesting, like, I do think of it as a spiritual wave type of thing. Like, I don't know. I'm really proud of the Generation Z. And, you know, because I'm like, wow. Oh, my God.
Listen, they are beautiful and wow. You know, my son, I had to, you know, hold my heart in my hands.
Aww.
My son called me, and he had come home from school. He's in Brooklyn, and he called me when the protests first started, you know, right after George Floyd, and he was like, yeah, so I went to the protest. I was like, oh my God.
Ah, oh my God.
I was like, you know, and you know, you should see my text to him. They're like, follow your intuition, wear your mask, blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
Yeah, listen, oh my God, I'm a maniac.
They're, but, like, really here to change it up, like, and yeah, so I'm proud of them, and I be doing readings for Generation Z people, and it's really cute, and I think the future is going to be pretty cool.
What do they want to know when you're doing a reading? What do they want to know?
Honestly, it's about ancestors. A lot of people, like, most people, although I don't really feel like I advertise myself like that, I guess. But I guess maybe it's the way I be talking. But a lot of people contact me and they're like, can I get, like, an ancestor reading and, like, a spirit guide type of reading? And a lot of Generation Z people. Because sometimes, I guess you could say I do, like, witch doctor, like, recipe stuff. So yeah. I will, like, at the end, I'll be like, you know, I, like, you need to get this color candle, get this kind of herbs. And, like, do this on the new moon for, like, you know, 5-7 times. And it is based on, like, you know, it's based on the cards, but I guess, I don't know. Yeah, it's based on the cards, but basically my intuition, because it's mostly being a medium, I guess you could say. But, yeah, they want to know a lot about ancestor connection, and then, I feel like also a lot, like, connect with me because I'm, like, very vocal about, like, social justice, you know, and, like, you know, and a lot I found, like, it's kind of like that, kind of like, how can I do a career that is, like, spiritual, you know, or has a mission behind it. But yeah, most of it relates to ancestor stuff and getting started with spirituality. I'm like, damn, you this young and you, shit.
Yeah, because those people are like their ancestors returned.
Exactly. So they're ready. They, like, are ready.
It went over on them.
Yeah, they ready. Because at 23, I was in Chicago out in these streets popping that.
When my son was 11, right, he got in a little bit of trouble at school. He didn't do some homework. But he lied about it. And the teacher contacted me and told me. So I was like, why did you lie? You know, I'm gonna find out from the teacher anyway. And he was like, because people lie so they don't have to have conversations like this.
Oh, dang. Like, you like, okay, word. Word, okay. You're like, okay, I'm gonna just go sit down.
But that was
You like, wow.
Yeah. So that's what he's, and all his friends are like that too. And that's who these kids are, okay?
That is, you know, so funny.
During the pandemic, I said, oh my God, are you gonna stay in the house? He was like, I'm going back to school. Because his school let him go back. And he was up there, he studied in his dorm, and then he ran amok, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, then he came back to the city with wearing his mask. The kids, I don't know if the kids are spreading it or not, but they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, don't worry about us.
Hmm.
They don't want to get it, you know, the smart ones, but they're not stopping their lives.
Well, to each their own.
You know, and that's why they were out there protesting.
Right.
They were like, Rona be damned. Rona
in hella numbers.
Rona be damned. We're going to be out here. I'm proud of them, too. They're an amazing, you know, look at these companies. Look at Amazon and Apple. We stand with Black Lives Matter. Please spend your money with us, please.
Right. That's the next frontier, is working on that kind of BS, but... At least we do have the represent. It's a next step, but yeah. Because they have definitely, it's Black Lives Matters is commodified.
The attention that the Black Lives Matter movement garnered in such a major way. I mean, I know a lot of that had to do with, you know, my friend said Black Lives Matter was gentrified.
It definitely, yeah. Once you see Gwyneth Paltrow saying it, you like, girl.
I can't mess with her.
They done went to Manhattan on a B.
Oh, God. Oh, God. You know what I liked? I liked when there was one clip of them looting Soho in New York. And you could see this one young white woman, she's looking around like she's got a little shirt, you know, and she's looking around like, should I take it? And then she's like, yeah, I'm gonna take it.
Oh, good. challenge the stereotype, period.
I was like, oh my God, you know. But these folks are tired. We're all tired, but the young people have the energy, as you know, as youth always does, to do something about it. And you can't keep, I mean, look, the thing with this Breonna Taylor case, that is utterly bewildering and baffling.
Yeah.
You're going to release an empty police report. I mean, this woman's spirit is like, oh no, you will figure out.
A powerful spirit. Can you imagine, though, like, because sometimes, like, that is written into people's birth charts, like, as far as having fame after death. But, like, because I'm not dead. But, like, it's interesting to imagine, like, literally you die relatively not, you know, a celebrity, relatively unknown except for, you know, close friends of yours, and then you're like a global celebrity after you're like not here anymore.
Well, you know, it's the why, right? It's the why. Like, why are policemen barging into sleeping Black folks' homes and killing them?
Right. I mean, can we talk about the what's that other case? The dude in Texas, the white police lady, barged in and killed him.
Oh my God!
Bo, what's his name?
I can't remember his name because there's so many. But the one who are you talking about? The woman who said she wandered into the wrong apartment?
Yes.
Like, what are you doing? Yeah.
And then now she apparently So I actually, he's like kind of a friend of mine. He's cousins with this person, so I don't want to be insensitive or anything like that. But I did get kind of like some, the tea, like, is like, Well, I mean, I watch Lovely Tea a lot, and she kind of breaks stuff down in an interesting way. But his father and his brother apparently were kind of more like sympathetic to her, and the brother was like, you know, give me a hug in the name of forgiveness.
Yeah, I saw that in the courtroom.
Yeah, and now she is up. She's appealing for shorter time, which everyone knew that was going to happen. And like, apparently, his mother in St. Lucia is like really angry. But it's just kind of like, I don't know, the mood, the way that the case went, I don't know. It just was kind of, I don't know. I'm here for, you know, forgiveness for the sake of your ego and stuff like that. But at the same time, I just don't feel like a hug is going to really, it's not going to dismiss the cosmic weight of the fact that you killed someone. Like, I mean, also there's details about, you know, them having pictures together and all this kind of stuff, but it's kind of like, that doesn't make any sense, because literally, one of the first things I recognize about my apartment is the smell, you know what I mean? I know, you walk in your apartment, and you're like, oh, okay, or you're like, oh, I need to change the garbage, but you know, like, you know about your, that doesn't really make sense.
You know where you live.
Huh?
You know where you live.
Exactly, it's kind of like, you just don't, I don't get it, like, I, like...
you something, any these people, you know, we only get the story once it hits the news, but these people say any old thing, you know what I mean? That's why, you know, the people were mad. Okay, they don't want to be lumped together and being called Karens, and that was, you know, that is the most horrible worst case scenario, that somebody, you know, was killed. But these cases where they're like, they go to the, like, what's the barbecue lady? Barbecue Betsy, whatever her name is.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to stop somebody from having that? You're going to wander into this apartment and just shoot somebody? You're going to stop somebody from having a barbecue, a lemonade stand, wearing a mask? You know, the level of policing, these de facto citizens' arrests for nothing at all is, you know, beyond my understanding of entitlement. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that you could say anything stupid and literally get away with murder is beyond me.
No biggie.
Ugh. Ooh, we gotta lighten this up.
Anyway, well, let's talk about some of the pop culture references in Yoruba and Hoodoo, and like, if you feel like they're accurate. So, like, I guess the most obvious one is Black is King. Bigger.
I think there are a couple of things that happen. It's like, one, especially for younger people who are in the religion, you know, the Yoruba religion, that, you know, they're like, no, we don't want to just be walking around cloaked. Right? So, that, and prior to Beyonce or Black is King, she had Lemonade, where she comes out with the yellow dress in the water, and that was a clear reference to Oshun in particular, but she didn't name it, right? But then you also had, back in the day, you had that movie Love Jones with Nia Long and Lorenz Tate, and he does the spoken word, and he's like, oh, are you Yemenya? No, you're not Yemenya. Oh, you must be Oshun. You know, so I think that there has been this underground conversation happening for a long time. And finally, or the eventual outcome was going to be that folks were going to know, as more Black directors, agents of Black culture who have power in this entertainment industry, they're like, oh, we're going to incorporate our culture into it. We don't just have to, or our lineage into it, our West African lineage into it, because we no longer have to do things to only fit in with, you know, white culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm trying to think of another reference besides Black is King. I mean, that's
well,
a fascinating one right now. But I also think what you had, too, was you also... You know this festival, Afropunk, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know that brings together all these alternative people of color. They're in the punk scene, they're listening to, you know, I guess Janelle Monáe before she was really popular. She always did Afropunk, you know what I mean? And they're in what was considered fringe, you know, culture. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, doing, you know, other spiritual practices that are not necessarily rooted in Christianity or Islam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think once Afropunk got big, and Afrofuturism became much more of a mainstream conversation, and people started talking more about Sun Ra, the old jazz musician. I know who Sun Ra was into, Madame Blavatsky, you know, and he was dressing like a alien.
Madame who?
Huh?
Madame who?
Blavatsky, she's like this old school Russian psychic. I don't know if she's Russian. Don't quote me on that. You have to Google
that. Let me look her up real quick.
Yeah. But anyway, he read her books. And then, you know, of course, you had George Clinton from back in the 70s who was doing all the spirit, all the planetary traveling. And so looking to all kind of various spirits. And then, so you had Afrofuturism becoming this real line of knowledge and thought that was expressing itself through art, mm-hmm. and alternative music. And then Afropunk just kind of really ushered it in. And then, you know, Jada Pinkett and Will Smith started showing up at Afropunk, and it became this mainstream thing. So I think that's what kind of ushered in, you know, the taboo conversations, you know, mm-hmm. out from behind the curtain around Orisha's.
Yeah, I think this is definitely like more like the second edition, because I remember when Afropunk, because I was like a Tumblr girl, like in high school and college. Yeah. So yeah. That was, I followed Afropunk and all that kind of stuff. Like when they were like literally like had like, it, they were on Tumblr, like that's it. And it was back whenever I had a lot of punk friends, but it was when their philosophy was more about like, you know, like punk music, and they didn't really feature so much music that I like listened to so much. And then they like switched kind of, I guess, into being like more like Afrocentric and stuff. And less punk, but more like Solange terms, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's when they, because that's just when they started getting the sponsorships, and, you know, it was never really, so I used to go, they used to have Afropunk Festival in Brooklyn, and I would go every summer for a little while, but this was before it moved to like this big field, and they had Solange perform, and it was way before that. It was just this little thing. They had a skate park, they had graphic artist booths, you know, it was really kind of grungy, you know, it's a little more cleaned up. It wasn't necessarily, you know, there would be people performing with fur, you know, bat wings. I was like, yeah, this is definitely odd, you know, and I could be considered odd, but I was like, this is way odd, you know. I remember going one year when it moved, and you know, everybody had the ring through the nose, you know, the ring that, you know, the ring. I was like, okay, this is, I might be a little aged out of this or not. I just, it was, yeah, I was like, wow, Afropunk, okay. But you know, I was like, okay. I think Afropunk is the steward. And but it just got really popular. You know, Afropunk was no longer this fringe festival. You know, it became it's everywhere. It's in South Africa, it's in France. You know, I don't know if they're doing it virtually because of the pandemic, but you know, it became this global phenomenon as opposed to this little local scene. And I think that the spirituality aspect of it, you know, and then people got wind of it, you know. Hollywood got wind of it. And Hollywood got wind of the Orishas.
Yup.
So, you know.
So then, I saw that you wanted to talk about the yellow fever epidemic. Also, like, how much...
Because New Orleans is no stranger to epidemics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was something that took place here. And, although New Orleans is a hot spot for Corona, you know, and then before Corona, you had Katrina. I said, what's with all these names? But I was thinking about part of the reason why I think there were so many spiritualists here is because this has traditionally been, I mean, there's wealth here, but it's not one of the wealthier cities in the country. And people have always had to find creative means to cure ills. People have always had to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we can use herbs and prescriptions, like for baths and things like that. But, you know, that's because we know that herbs are truly healing for ailments. And I think that that's so. I brought up yellow fever because of Marie Laveau. And I think there were a lot of Marie Laveaus. You know, she's the one who, you know, who is most known. But I think that there's always been a tribe of healers who are present when, you know, these kinds of tragedies happen. And I've noticed that during this pandemic that's happening right now, you know, what do we have a resurgence of? Like, tribes of healers everywhere. You know, all of my spiritual friends are like, you know, they're all booked for readings.
Wow. Yeah, I had to decrease mine because...
All of them. You know, even me, who I didn't even want to do readings, you know, I still got hit up for readings. The day that I was like, oh, I'm not doing any more readings. I didn't want to do any more. So I got two. Yeah. I had just said, I was on the phone. I was like, yeah, I'm not doing any more readings. And literally 10 minutes later, somebody called me.
That's why I tell everybody, get out and do your thing because... Yeah. Your girl is tired. I'm really getting into the Patreon, you know, and just the...
You keep talking about it. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's going to be like a vibe kind of thing, you know, like, I like kind of just, I guess, what things are becoming like, because I just, it's just cool to share this information with people, like-minded people. But, yeah, I guess one of the last things I wanted to talk about with you was some resources for, learning more about IFA. And then I know you had modern tarot decks on the list too.
The modern tarot decks, probably have to do a live on that one.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's a whole subject in and of itself. But I did want to talk about that.
Yeah, let's do a live or something.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. But so resources, Jambalaya is like a go-to always because mm-hmm. it gives Jambalaya by Louisa Teach. She's an Osterian priestess, 50 years of Osha, and she's from New Orleans. And she, I think that book really talks about how you can venerate the Orishas. She has a lot of creative rituals, and you don't have to join any lay to do that. Finding Soul in the Path of Orisha by Toby Malora Corbiel is less about the actual traditional technical rituals and more about the journey, the internal journey of becoming a Yoruba initiate. And it's a memoir, but it's also... it's also like a treatise on what it's like to go into this religion, because it is so different than Christianity, which is what, to me, most Black people grow up with. Mm-hmm. And it's a short book. It's easy. I really like it. Another book that I had on there was
Sassafras.
Yeah. Black Gods by John Mason. I don't know how how accessible that book is now. It might be really expensive, but that book is about basically the seven African powers, and it gives really good descriptions about their correspondences in nature. So, for instance, Oshun is the river, Yemaya is the ocean, or Ya is the wind and storms, Ogun is iron, technology, woods, Shango, fire, lightning, so and so forth. But he gives a really detailed description of the history and why they are powers, because it's a short book, but it's concise, but it's really thorough, and I love that book. And then there's also Sassafras, Cypress, and Indigo by Ntozake Shange. She's the one who wrote For Colored Girls Who Consider Suicide, When the Rainbow Is Enough. And that book is fiction, but what I like about it is that there are letters from an elder figure to these three sisters who are daughters, and the letters are always filled with advice. They're always filled with a recipe, a culinary recipe, something Southern, a lot of okra. And one of the sisters goes into the religion to heal from a bad relationship. And I just think it's a beautiful fictional depiction of what it's like to become initiated.
Wow. Okay, then.
Yeah, so all of those books, hopefully you can find them from your local Black bookstore or online. Try not to get it from Amazon.
True. I bet the community bookstore over here, and I think it's in Bayou St. John.
Yeah.
They probably
are. They okay? They had gotten vandalized.
What?
Yeah. During the pandemic.
I did not know that. Oh my God.
Yeah. And they're a staple in this city.
Wow. I would hate to be the person that did that.
I know.
You don't fuck with that street. Because they still have the same, the brick down there from the, from like the
1700s. Yep. Yeah.
Wow. Yep, that is horrible.
Yeah. But, they'll be okay. They got a lot of love and support.
Mm-hmm.
But that was awful that happened. But I don't think it meant that they were going anywhere,
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, they probably have it for sure. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Can you remind everyone how to get in contact with you and what your services are?
Sure. So, again, my name is Anika Lani. My IG handle is Honeyology Creative. And there you can also find a link to, because I'm still a Tumblr girl, you can find a link
yes.
to my Tumblr. And I will be offering yoga lessons. I will be offering yoga classes that include meditation, that include vibey soothing music. And I do tarot readings for sure.
Yes.
And energy readings. I do a chakra tarot reading, where I look at what is happening with each chakra from the root to the crown, and can try to help you, figure out like what your best power center is and how to, continue abundance that shows up in your cards or remove obstacles that show up in your cards.
I am here for it.
And I'm a writer. And so look out for some kind of book coming forth, hopefully in 2021.
Okay.
This time on my hands to compile some short stories.
Yes, we love to see it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Kiana. Yes. Wowie, wowie. What an amazing interview. We definitely kiki'd. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, like I said, check out my Patreon where you can get more content, where you can find Hoodoo Metaphysics content, where you can find some live streams. I've been posting What's the Spiritual Tea and tarot pulls and all kinds of stuff, and there's way more to come. So also, if you haven't already, please leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. And then if you do leave a review, I will read it out loud on the cast. So please, you know, leave me a review. Until next time, I will see you on the interwebs. Please, you know, share this episode. We out here trying to grow. If you know anybody that is into this kind of stuff here, you know, the hoodoo. Also, if you are interested in donating to the podcast, my Venmo is at KEON-DILLON. My PayPal is a personal email, KEONDILLON@gmail.com. And my Cash App is $ELDRA. So feel free to donate if you'd like to support this work. Thank you so much for listening.